That was his intent. In fact, God himself says that he enjoys what he does. Genesis 1:31, we don't have to turn there now. Genesis 1:31, God had reviewed all of the work that he had done of creation, and he said that it was good. That was a statement of satisfaction on his part, that he really enjoyed the results of his handiwork. And so we find that, for example, in Psalm 104 and verse 31, which we may want to turn to briefly, Psalm 104:31, the statement, Psalm 104:31, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. 104:31, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. So God himself rejoices in his works. We find that the Lord Jesus, as portrayed in Isaiah chapter 53, I won't have you turn there, looks forward down the corridors of time to the time of the cross, to the work that he is to do, the work that he is to do upon the cross, and it says that he rejoices because he sees the results of that work, and that's what God wants us to see as well. Man is to enjoy his work. Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes by the same author, by Solomon. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Laziness is the dinner work. It's too fun. It's the cry of the heart. But Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 22. Solomon writing, after looking at the activity of humans that he knew well by his own eyes, a result of looking over his own work, the Ecclesiastes, oh, I perceive that nothing's better than a man should rejoice in his own works. For who can bring to what will happen after him? You don't know whether some of your work are going to be enjoyed by others who will not be worthy of it. He said, don't worry about that stuff. What you need to do is to concentrate on what is before you, what God has placed in your hands to do. He has given you opportunities, and he is saying there is nothing better in this world than for you to fully appreciate and fully enjoy the opportunities that he has given to you, even though sometimes it's hard and even though sometimes it's no fun. God has given it to you not to punish you. He's given it to you for your fulfillment and for your enjoyment. There is nothing worse than to be a person in the world feeling that they have no worth because they have nothing to contribute. The lack of work, the lack of opportunity to contribute, can be one of the most deadly things in the life of any human being. And that is why I have said, and I will say it till the day I die, the word retirement is not in the Bible. You may retire from one kind of work, from one kind of activity, but you are never to be unoccupied. In fact, the Lord Jesus says, occupy till I come. You know what that means? Be busy! Be active until I come. One of the great things about this class, and I very seldom sort of pause and say things directly to the people of this class, but I think if I could make a survey of all the classes in the church on a per capita basis, there are more people in this class who are more active doing things in service here in this church than any other class that I know of. And I think that there, and I won't go into all the details of all the different kinds of service that you all are involved in, but I simply want to commend you for the fact that you are responding to the call of God and that you are using the gifts and the talents that he has given you in order to carry out the responsibilities and assignments you've been given. And you should enjoy them. Enjoy the results. Enjoy what God is doing through you, whether it's in music, whether it's in teaching, whether it's in the greeting, whatever the service may be that you're participating, the leading of the class, the regaling of the class, as in the case of Charlie. Enjoy the work that God is giving. He does seem to enjoy it, you have to admit. Yes?
Sometimes we kick around Sundays about what you can do and what you cannot do.
Right. On the Lord's Day.
And usually, you do things that you enjoy doing.
Yes?
Rest.
Yes. Rest is not inactivity.
It should be the enjoyment of what you're doing in work for the Lord rather than
It ought to be that. It ought to be fulfilling and it ought to bring enjoyment. It ought not to be simply toilsome drudgery. That's the whole point. And you're absolutely right. That's what the scriptures teach. By the way, I want to now, since you mentioned Sunday and things of activity that give us refreshment and so on, recreation is not laziness. Okay? I want that to be crystal clear. Recreation is not laziness. There's some who feel guilty about doing anything for fun. And they figure, well, I've got to be working, got to do something serious all the time, or I am at fault. I have a problem here. I need to confess. Well, turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. It's important that we disabuse ourselves of one view of laziness that some of us may entertain, maybe not many of us, but some. Mark, chapter 6. Verses 30 and 31 of Mark chapter 6. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. They had come back from one of their assignments of going out and in the healing and preaching and teaching ministry that they had, casting out of demons and so on. Verse 31, and he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Now, how many days have you ever spent working where you just didn't have time to eat? Well, I can recall quite a few, even recently. You're so busy that it just seems like there's not even time to stop and properly eat. And so he's saying, you have been busy enough that you need to recreate. That is to recharge your batteries. You need to have that time of rest and refreshment and recuperation and all of that. And recreation is not laziness, providing it's a punctuation as opposed to a constant preoccupation. We want to have recreation, but it is not fun all the time. It is fun that allows us to have a break from our fun assignments. Some people have called me Fun Ed, but I kind of worry about that kind of title. Funny. Some have said that too. I want to give you a picture of laziness. A single word that probably stands for about every kind of laziness there is. And there are four major kinds that are presented to us in the book of Proverbs. And that single word is the word escape. Does that ring a bell? There are various forms of escape from work. It is not only disinclination to work, it is running in the opposite direction from work. It is a departure from as fast as one's feet can move. How do you do that? What's the fastest way that we can escape from work? By going to sleep. Proverbs chapter 6. Turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 6. Four ways to escape that Proverbs outlines for us. Four ways to be lazy. Proverbs chapter 6. Verses 9 to 11. I think this is one of the funny pictures. There's some funny pictures, and here's one of the funny pictures, because I can just imagine. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise up from your sleep? That's a mother calling a teenager in the morning. Verse 10. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. I'm starting to go to sleep just reading these words. Verse 11, so shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. That's strong. Escape from work through sleep. How many times have I have to say, this is a confession, I sit down and I have my textbook open, and I'm, or sad to say, even I have the scriptures open, and I'm starting to read, and I'm starting to study, and somebody comes in and says, what have you been doing? I've been studying. I've been recreating. Getting my rest. Or we watch television. Nobody does that in here, I can see that. Escape from work through sleep. Now there's another way we escape from work. Turn to Proverbs chapter 12. This is very common for most people. Proverbs chapter 12 talks about the satisfaction of work in verse 11. 12:11 of Proverbs, he who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, verse 11, the second half, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. The word is stupid. What does it mean, follows frivolity? Playtime, party time. This means that it's now time for a break, a long break. You deserve a break today, so get up and on your... No, you know all about
that. Worthless things,
yes, worthless things, frivolity, just time wasters. Even television can be a time waster occasionally. Yes, I get an amen on that. Escape through play, in the sense of just time wasters. Think about all the time wasters that we manage to introduce into our lives on a daily basis, and we know that we're escaping, aren't we? We're finding things that are fun to do, so that we don't have to face some task that we want to face. I've got a task in front of me, I've got a job in front of me, and so instead of getting at it, I'm at the office, I'm supposed to start this report, and I say, oh, I better call so-and-so.
Yeah.
And so I give myself a break, a mental break, by not tackling the job immediately because it's so distasteful to have to face into. Escape through play. Pardon? Procrastination, yes. That is what putting off work is. Exactly right. Third, see if you recognize this one. Chapter 22 of Proverbs. Escape through sleep, escape through play, anything not to work. Chapter 22 of Proverbs. Oh, this is one of the funny ones. I mean, it's good that we can smile. This is one of the ones that's funny. Chapter 22 of Proverbs and verse 13. The lazy man says, there's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. Well, that's interesting. Go back to chapter 20. Chapter 20. And verse 4. The beginning of verse 4. The lazy man will not plow because of winter. If it's not the marauding lion, it's the weather. It's too cold, it's too wet, it's too hot, it's too dry. Can't do that, can't do the work today. And so here we have what are called excuses. Disinclination to work, avoiding work, evading work, escape through excuses. Finally. And this one may be one that maybe most of us engage in, this next one. Proverbs chapter 13, the fourth major kind of escape. There are probably other ways to escape, but these are four that Proverbs picks out. Proverbs chapter 13, I hope it brought a smile to your face to read some of these. If you've seen yourself in it, then you can just do what you need to do about it. Proverbs chapter 13. Thank you, Roberta. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4. The first part of verse 4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. Turn to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21. And verse 25. And following. This is a good verse. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long. I wish I had this, I wish I had that. I could earn this and I could earn that, but instead I just wish I had what the other guy has, instead of putting my hand to the plow and doing what it takes and getting the job done and seeing some fruit from my labor. Instead of doing that, I just wish. And I'm dissatisfied because I don't have what I wish for. And how many people who have failed to exert the amount of energy needed to be able to be productive have simply said, oh, I don't have this and I don't have that, and I feel put upon because, and I wish I had this and I wish I had that. That's going to kill you, he says. Because if, what? If wishes were horses, beggars would ride. If wishes were horses, beggars would ride. It's another old saying. And what that really simply says is, you're not going to get very far, because he says you have nothing, simply by wishing for it. And how many times do we spend our lives not working toward something, but simply wishing for something without putting the pedal to the metal and causing to happen the things that could produce the very thing that we wish? So we can escape through daydreaming, wishful thinking, wistful thinking, the kinds of things that, oh, I wish, oh, that this were the case, instead of doing the things that might lead to the very result that it is we wish for. You snooze, you lose, is a way of summarizing some of what we have said. Escape through sleep, escape through play, escape through excuses, escape through wishful thinking. All of these are kinds of ways to get away from work, to pause, and it's not a pause that refreshes, it's a pause that avoids. And I think that's the whole point about laziness. It is not recreation. It is not recharging the battery. It is avoidance behavior. Yes? Jeanette.
I remember reading about the pastor who was concerned about the homeless people.
Yes.
But in Shock at the corner where there was one peddling and a parking lot, and on every corner there was a sign saying now hiring, like a McDonald's or a
right. Right. Not the kind of work I want. Yeah, I can be very sort of selective about what it is I'm willing to consider. And I think I understand, if a person really is hungry and a person really wants to have some kind of income, there's always work to do. The question is whether the pride will allow you to do the work that's available. And I think that's where much of the deterrent comes in. Yes, our pride.
You talked about that walking wishful thinking. I saw on a church bulletin board in the colony that I was driving by some time ago, and I liked it, and it said, don't wait for your ship to come in. Jump in and swim out to it.
I like that. Better yet, get on board and sail it.
You know, Ed, it's very easy as I look at a lot of the teenagers.
Yes.
That have their noses and face right in the computer.
Yes.
To use that.
That's another escape.
A vehicle for avoidance.
It is. It's doing, that's playtime. That's the playtime one.
Exactly.
Exactly. Turn with me now to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to close. I hope you have seen in the mirror as I have seen in the mirror, and unfortunately, whenever I see things in the mirror, it makes me a little bit convicted, more than a little bit. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, something that's familiar. A situation in Thessalonica. Thessalonica was the town where everybody was looking for the Lord to come back soon. And the result was they stopped working. They gathered on the hilltops. They stopped doing anything productive because the Lord could come back at any minute. And they started gossiping. They started doing other stuff because they had time on their hands. They were idle. And so the Apostle Paul had to address to the Thessalonians what they were doing, the laziness that they had entered into. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. For even when we were with you, Paul writes, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Now, it used to be a time in homes when kids had chores. Don't do your chores. We don't sit down and have supper. We don't go do this fun activity. There is a work responsibility, and that comes first. And so he says, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Verse 11, for we hear that there is some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Busybodies is someone with a lot of time on their hands who goes around just nosily checking on everybody else's business because they don't have any business of their own. Think about it. Busybody is someone who works nosily checking on everybody else's business because they have no business of their own. So I think that the issue of laziness refers not just to a temperament that could be called lethargic. You know, I'm a slow-moving person. It's really talking about the active avoidance of work in particular, or of exertion in general. And the reason for that avoidance is because we are sinners in a fallen world who don't enjoy the fact that things don't just come to us automatically. That we have to actually exert effort and work hard, and sometimes it's toilsome, and we work by the sweat of our brow, and that we don't enjoy. What the Bible says is that we should enjoy the fruit of our labor, even though the process may be difficult, because the opposite of the laziness of rout brings on things like, we won't go into this because time is up, in the book of Proverbs talks about this, it brings on poverty, lack of work, it brings on hunger, it brings on disgrace, it brings on deterioration. There's one passage in here which is kind of funny that I won't read to it, about the house where the roof is leaking and, you know, the shingles are coming off, and, you know, it's reminding me of that song, This Old House. Deterioration because nobody took care of the house. And a generally difficult or hard life. You know, things are not easy for the lazy person. They think they're making it easier for themselves, but they end up always making life more difficult for themselves because it will not go smooth when they are doing things that will cause everything to go wrong. There's one passage, it's also funny, where the lazy person won't cook, and then they won't eat what they cooked. Now, that's one of those funny things, like the others that we looked at. But what it says is, can you imagine someone who's not even willing to exert the effort to feed themselves? or not willing to exert the effort to repair their house, or not willing to exert the effort in order to have gainful employment. All of these are ways of saying that we as human beings don't like the fact that we live in a world that is a fallen world, and that it's not always fun. What God is saying is that, yes, you live in a fallen world, but I have given you my grace so that you are able to derive real enjoyment and real pleasure even from and through toil. That toil need not be a downer. It need not be a cause for dissatisfaction, but rather it should be a privilege that I have work to do, that I have opportunity. That opportunity allows me to use the gifts that I've got, and then I can even see results or fruit for my labor. That's the attitude we should have. And next week, we're going to talk about the opposite of laziness, which is diligence. And that's a great topic. It'll be more positive, except that it may be more convicting as well. So let's talk about that next week. Let's go to the Lord, shall we, in a time of prayer at the end of this class. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have shown us a mirror in front of ourselves. We recognize the fact that our disinclination to work or our disinclination to exert effort may be directly the result of the fact that we are ourselves sinners, though we're saved by grace, that we are oftentimes in the position of yielding to the flesh and of avoiding the things that seem unpleasant, that we escape through various means, whether it's sleep or play or excuses or whatever it may be, that we know, Father, that even our wishful thinking gets in the way. All of these things that you have shown us in the book of Proverbs are convicting because we recognize ourselves in this mirror. But we pray, Father, today that we might recognize that you yourself work, that you have given us assignments and work to do, that we are co-laborers with you in this work, and that you have promised great reward and great satisfaction for doing this work. For these things we give you thanksgiving and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.